Ayrım 5.
The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Prepared for radio in 13 episodes by Brian Sibley. With Ian Holm, Michael Horden, Robert Stevens, Peter Vaughan, and Peter Woodthorpe. Episode 9, adapted by Michael Bakewell. The Two Towers.
We have not found what we sought. But what have we found?
Not orcs. Elves?
Nay, not elves. Elves do not walk in Ithilien these days. And elves are wondrous fair to look upon, or so it is said.
Meaning we're not, I take it. And when you've finished discussing us, perhaps you'll say who you are. And why you can't let two tired travellers rest.
I am Faramir, captain of Gondor. And there are no travellers in this land. Only the servants of the Dark Tower of the White.
We are neither. And travellers we are, whatever Captain Faramir may say.
Then make haste to declare yourselves and your errand. Where is the third of your company?
The third?
The skulking fellow that we saw with his nose in the pool down yonder. Some spying breed of orc, I guess. He gave us the slip by some fox trick.
I do not know where he is. He is only a wretched, gangrel creature, but I have him under my care for a while. If you come upon him, spare him and send him to us. As for us, we are hobbits of the Shire. Frodo, son of Drogo, is my name, and with me is Samwise, son of Hamfast. We have come by long ways out of Rivendell.
Out of Rivendell?
Yes. 7 companions we had. One we lost in Moria. The others we left at Parthgarlan, above Rauros. 2 of my kin. A dwarf there was also, and an elf, and 2 men, Aragorn and Boromir.
Boromir?
Boromir.
Boromir, son of Lord Denethor. You came with him. He was High Warden of the White Tower and our Captain General. What had you to do with him?
Are the riddling words known to you that Boromir brought to Rivendell? Seek for the sword that was broken. In Imladris it dwells.
The words are known indeed. It is some token of your truth that you also know them.
Aragorn, whom I named, is the bearer of the sword that was broken, and we are the halflings that the rhyme spoke of.
And what of Isildur's bane?
That is hidden. Doubtless it will be made clear in time.
Hidden? Is not that because you choose to hide it?
No, not because I choose. It does not belong to me or to any mortal, great or small. Though if any could claim it, it would be Aragorn, the leader of our company from Moria to Rauros.
Why he, and not Boromir, prince of the city that was founded by the sons of Elendil?
Because Aragorn is descended in direct lineage from Isildur, Elendil's son. And the sword that he bears is Elendil's sword.
The sword of Elendil?
Maybe. But so great a claim will need to be established if Aragorn comes to Minas Tirith.
Boromir was satisfied of that claim. He will tell you when he comes.
So, Boromir will tell us when he comes. Were you a friend of Boromir?
He was a valiant member of our company. Yes, I was his friend for my part.
Then you would grieve to learn that Boromir was dead.
I would grieve indeed. Dead? Do you mean that he is dead and that you knew it? You've been trying to trap me in words, playing with me. How then did he die and how do you know of it?
I had hoped that his friend and companion might tell me the manner of his death.
But he was alive and strong when we parted. Mm. And he lives still, for all that I know, though surely there are many perils in the world.
Many indeed. And treachery not the least.
Look, begging your pardon, Mr. Frodo, but this has gone on long enough. He's no right to talk to you like this after all you've been through. Now, see here, Captain. Let's come to the point. If you think my master murdered this Boromir and then ran away, well, you've got no sense, but say it. Have done.
Patience. Do not speak before your master, whose wit is greater than yours. You asked, Frodo, how do I know that the son of Denethor is dead? Tidings of death have many wings, and night oft brings news to near kindred. Boromir was my brother. Do you remember aught of special mark that Boromir bore with him?
I remember that Boromir bore a horn.
11 days ago, at about this hour, I heard the blowing of that horn. From the northward it seemed, but dim, as if it were but an echo in the mind. On the third night after, a stranger thing befell me. I sat at night by the waters of Anduin, under the pale moon. I saw, or it seemed that I saw a boat of strange fashion, with a high prow, almost filled with clear water. And lapped in the water, a warrior lay asleep. About his waist, he wore a strange belt of linked golden leaves. It was Boromir, my brother, dead. The boat passed on into the night, like a dream, and yet there was no waking. And I do not doubt that he is dead and has passed down the river to the sea.
Alas, that was indeed Boromir. For the golden belt was given to him in Lothlórien by the Lady Galadriel.
You passed through the land of Lórien?
Yes.
Much that is strange about you I begin to understand. Oh, Boromir, what did she say to you? The lady that dies not. But it was no dream, for the horn returned in truth and not in seeming. It was found cloven in two in the reeds below the infalls of the Entwash, and now lies upon the lap of Denethor, as he sits in his high chair waiting for news.
Your tale fills me with dread. For if Boromir was slain, then I must fear that all my companions perish too. And they were my kindred and my friends. Oh, I'm weary and full of grief and afraid. But I have a deed to do, or to attempt, before I too am slain. Go back, Faramir, and defend your city while you may. And let me go where my doom takes me. Will you not put aside your doubt of me now? And let me go?
I doubt you no longer, Frodo. But I cannot do as you ask. I should now take you back to Minas Tirith, there to answer to Denethor. And my life will justly be forfeit if I now choose a course that proves ill for my city. So I will not decide in haste what is to be done. We will go to a secret place we have some 10 miles from here. There we may rest for a while. In the morning I will decide what is best for me to do. And for you.
They set out at once, passing like grey and green shadows under the old trees, their feet making no sound. Above them, many birds sang, and the sun glistened on the polished roof of dark leaves in the evergreen woods of Ithilien.
I thought it better not to pursue the matter of Isildur's bane in the open before many men. But I think you were not wholly frank with me, Frodo.
I told no lies, Faramir, and all the truth I could.
I do not blame you. You spoke with skill in a hard place, but I learned more from you than your words said. You were not friendly with Boromir, or you did not part in friendship. Isildur's bane, I would hazard that was what lay between you and bred contention in your company. Though what it is, I know not. I remember only that I heard of it in a tale told by Mithrandir when I was a child.
Mithrandir? You knew Gandalf? He was the leader of our company.
And where is he now?
He was lost in Moria.
An evil fate seems to have pursued your company. But fear me not. I have no desire for this thing which Isildur took from the enemy. I would not take it if it lay by the highway. Not were Minas Tirith falling in ruin, and I alone could save her, using the weapon of the Dark Lord for her good and my glory. No, I do not wish for such triumph.
Neither did the Council of Elrond, nor do I. I have nothing to do with such matters.
For myself, I would see the white tree in flower again in the courts of the kings, and the silver crown return, and Minas Tirith in peace.
But now, you must pardon me. It is a command that no stranger, not even one of Rohan that fights with us, shall see the path we now go on. I must blindfold you.
Very well.
All that Frodo and Sam knew of the last mile of their road, they learned from guesswork. Always the noise of running water was on their right hand, and it grew nearer and louder. Then they were picked up and carried down many steps. The water seemed all round them now, and they felt a fine rain on their hands and cheeks. At last, they were set on their feet once more.
Let them see! Well, I never, Mr. Frodo. We're behind a waterfall.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, just look at the colors. It's just like being inside a rainbow.
At least by good chance we came at the right hour to reward you for your patience. This is the Window of the Sunset, Kenneth Arnoon, fairest of all the falls of Ithilien, land of many fountains. Few strangers have ever seen it, but there is no kingly hall to match it, only what meager hospitality we can provide within our cave. Enter now and take your rest.
After so long journeying and camping and days spent in the lonely wild, the evening meal seemed a feast to the hobbits. Neither Frodo nor Sam refused anything that was offered, nor a second, nor even a third helping. The wine coursed through their veins and tired limbs as they sat at their ease with Faramir, telling tales of their adventures and listening to him tell of his.
You don't say much in all your tales about the elves,
sir.
No, indeed, Master Samwise, for I am not learned in elven lore. Yet there are among us still some who have dealings with elves, and ever and anon one will go in secret to Lorien, seldom to return. Not I. Yet I envy you that you have spoken with the White Lady.
Ooh.
She must be perilously fair.
Well, I don't know about perilous. Perhaps you could call her perilous because she's so strong in herself. You could dash yourself to pieces on it like a ship on a rock, or be drowned yourself like a hobbit in a river. But neither rock nor river would be to blame. It strikes me that folk takes their peril with them into Lorien and finds it there because they brought it. Now, Boromir.
Yes. Now, Boromir, you would say.
Mm.
What would you say? He took his peril with him.
Mm. Yes, sir. Begging your pardon. And as fine a man as your brother was, if I may say so. But you've been warm on the scent all along. I watched Boromir all down the road from Rivendell, looking after my master, as you'll understand. And it's my opinion that in Lorien he first saw clearly what I guessed sooner, what he wanted. From the moment he first saw it, he wanted the enemy's ring.
Sam.
Huh? Oh, save me. There I go again. Now, look here, sir. Don't you go taking advantage of my master because his servant's no better than a fool. You've spoken very handsome all along and put me off my guard. But handsome is as handsome does. Now's a chance to show your quality.
So it seems. So that is the answer to all the riddles. The one ring that was thought to have perished from the world. And Boromir tried to take it by force. And you escaped and ran all the way to me. And here, in the wild, I have you. Two halflings. And a host of men at my call. And the ring of rings. A chance for Faramir, captain of Gondor, to show his quality.
Draw your sword, Sam. Stand by me.
Alas for Boromir. It was too sore a trial. How you have increased my sorrow, you two strange wanderers from a far country, bearing the peril of men. We are truth speakers, we men of Gondor. I said, not if I found it on the highway would I take it. Even if I were such a man as to desire this thing, and even though I knew not clearly what this thing was when I spoke, still I should take those words as a vow and be held by them. But I am not such a man, for I am wise enough to know that there are some perils from which a man must flee. Sit at peace. Be comforted, Samwise. If you seem to have stumbled, think that it was fated to be so. It was safe to declare this thing to me. It may even help the master whom you love. Well, Frodo, at last we understand each other.
Yes.
If you took this thing on yourself, unwilling, at others asking, then you have pity and honor from me. And I marvel at you, to keep it hid and not to use it. You are a new people and a new world to me. But tell me, if you will, whither you wish to go and what to do, for I must watch and wait and think.
Yes, I was going to find a way to Mordor. I was going to Gorgoroth. Must find the Mountain of Fire and cast the ring into the Gulf of Doom. Gandalf.
Mr. Frodo!
Help me to carry him, Master Samwise.
Yes, sir.
I think I shall ever get there.
Here we are, sir. Here we are, sir. Now,
I reckon he's just about all in.
Yeah, he will sleep soundly tonight.
I'll see to him now.
Yes,
sir. It's all right, sir. Good night, Captain. And you took the chance, sir.
Did I, sir?
Oh, yes, sir. And showed your quality. The very highest.
The praise of the praiseworthy is above all rewards. Yet there was naught in this to praise. I had no love or desire to do other than I have done.
Ah, well, sir, but I will say this. You have an air that reminds me of, well, Gandalf. Of wizards.
Maybe. Maybe you discern from far away the air of Numenor. Good night.
And while Frodo slept in Ithilien, Aragorn and the Grey Company passed swiftly over the plain and came to Dunharrow as darkness fell. Beyond the ancient stronghold rose the grim black wall of the Haunted Mountain, and at its foot, the dark door to the paths of the dead.
Is it then your errand to seek death? That is all you will find on that road, Aragorn. They do not suffer the living to pass.
Lady Eowyn, I walked in this land ere you were born to grace it. The paths of the dead hold no terrors for me, and they may suffer me to pass. I must venture it. No other road will serve.
But this is madness. For with you are men of renown and prowess, whom you should not lead into the shadows, but should lead to war where men are needed. I beg you to remain here with me, to await the coming of my brother Eomer, the king. Then, when the muster of Rohan is completed, shall you ride forth?
It is not madness, lady, for I go on a path appointed. Those who follow me do so of their own free will.
But why must you go on this deadly road?
I do not choose paths of peril, Eowyn. I go because I must bear my part in the war against Sauron. Were I to go where my heart dwells, far in the north, I would be wandering in the fair valley of Rivendell.
You are a stern lord, and resolute. But if you must go, let me ride in your following, for I am weary of skulking in the hills, and I wish to face peril and battle.
Your duty is with your people.
Oh, too often have I heard of duty. But am I not of the house of Eorl, a shield maiden, not a dry nurse? I can ride and wield a blade, and I do not fear pain or death.
What do you fear, Eowyn?
A cage. To stay behind bars until use and old age accept them, and all chance of doing great deeds is gone, beyond recall or desire.
And yet you counseled me not to adventure on the paths of the dead because it was a perilous road.
So may one counsel another. Yet I do not bid you flee from peril, but to ride to battle where your sword may win renown and victory. I would not see a thing that is high and excellent cast away needlessly.
Nor would I. Therefore I say to you, lady, stay, for you have no errand in the south.
Neither have those others that go with thee. They go only because they would not be parted from thee, because they love thee.
The sun was not yet risen above the high ridges in the east when Aragorn and his company set out. Eowyn stood still as a figure carven in stone, her hands clenched at her sides as she watched them until they passed into the shadows under the Haunted Mountain. A dread fell on Aragorn's company as they passed between the lines of ancient stones and so came to the dark door. It gaped before them like the mouth of night. Signs and figures too dim to read were carved above its wide arch, and fear flowed from it like a grey vapour.
My blood runs chill. This is a fearful place.
This is an evil door, and my death lies beyond it. I will dare to pass it nonetheless. But no horse will enter.
Our horses will face the terror of the paths of the dead if our own hearts are steady. They must go with us. For if ever we come through this darkness, many leagues lie beyond, and every hour that is lost will bring the triumph of Sauron nearer. Light your torches. Follow me.
Who shall call them from the grey twilight, the forgotten people?
The heir of him to whom the oath they swore. From the north shall he come. Need shall drive him. He shall pass the door to the paths of the dead.
And bearing his torch aloft, Aragorn strode into the whispering darkness.
Oathbreakers of Dunharrow, the time has come to fulfill the promise made to Isildur. He laid a curse upon you that you should never rest until your oath was fulfilled. I, Aragorn, the heir of Isildur, summon you to the Stone of Erech, where you swore your allegiance. Follow.
The torches have gone out.
They will not be rekindled. Follow me through the darkness.
Do you hear? The dead arise and follow us. I hear, and I would that we were out of this terrible darkness.
Of the time that followed, Gimli remembered little. The others pressed on, but he was ever hindmost, pursued by a groping horror that seemed always just about to seize him. At length, the company passed through a gateway, high arched and broad, and into a chasm of dark shadow. Above them, the first stars of evening glinted in the sky.
Friends, forget your weariness. Mount now and ride. We must come to the Stone of Erech ere this day passes, and long still is the way.
Do the dead follow us? I cannot look back.
They follow. I see the shapes of men and of horses. Pale banners like shreds of cloud, and spears like winter thicket on a misty night. The dead are following.
So they rode out of the ravine and into the Vale of Morthond, and came at length to the Hill of Erech.
Give me the horn of silver. Oathbreakers, why have you come?
To fulfill the oath made to Isildur.
The hour is come at last. Now I go to Pelagia, upon Anduin, the city of royal ships, and ye shall come after me, and when all this land is clean of the servants of Sauron, I will hold the oath fulfilled, and ye shall go in peace forever. Halbarad, unfurl our standard.
And behold, the standard which Arwen had woven was black, and if there was any device upon it, it was hidden in darkness. Then there was silence, and the grey company passed into the darkness of the Storm of Mordor and was lost to mortal sight. But the dead followed them. And as the long night drew towards its end in Ithilien, Frodo and Sam were roused from their sleep by Faramir, who led them to a high place at the side of the waterfall.
Oh, it's a fine view, no doubt, Mr. Frodo, but chilling to the heart, not to mention the bones.
Frodo,
Do you see the pool down there at the bottom of the cliff? Yes. Something's moving. What is it? It has four limbs. It dives like a man. What's it doing? It's seeking a way up behind the waterfall to our hiding. I have a marksman posted. Shall we shoot?
No, no. I beg you not to.
You know, then, what this thing is?
Yes.
Is it your gangrel companion?
Yes.
He has dared to come to Heneth Annwn, and his life is forfeit. I marvel at the creature. To come sporting in the pool before our very window. Does he think that men sleep without watch all night?
He knows little of men. But I think he is lured here by a mastering desire stronger than his caution.
He is lured here, you see? Does he then know of your burden?
Yes, indeed. He bore it himself for many years.
He bore it? This matter winds itself ever in new riddles. Then he is pursuing it.
Maybe. It is precious to him. But I did not speak of that.
What then does the creature seek?
Fishes is...
Fishes is...
Fish. Oh. The creature is wretched and hungry and unaware of his danger. And Gandalf, your Mithrandir would have bidden you not to slay him for that reason and for others. In some way he is bound up with my errand. Until you found us and took us, he was my guide.
Your guide? I would do much for you, Frodo. But I cannot let this sly wanderer go free at his own will from here. He must be slain or taken.
Then let me go down quietly to him. Yes? I will bring him to you.
This is his.
Nice face. Now we can eat.
This in peace,
no. Not in peace, precious. For precious is lost. Yes, lost. Dirty hobbits, nasty hobbits.
Gone and left us. And precious is gone.
Throttle them, precious. Throttle them all.
Smeagol.
Nice. This is it.
Nice.
Come quickly, Smeagol. Men will kill you if they find you here. Come quickly, we are in danger.
Oh, no. Not nice, Master. Please, first Smeagol goes with new friends, Master. And wait. Smeagol hasn't finished.
Smeagol, there's no time for all that. Precious will be angry. I shall take Precious and say, make him swallow bones and choke.
Nice, Master. Nice habit. Come back to poor Smeagol. Good Smeagol comes. Let's go quickly. Yes, yes.
Now, we must go up the stream. I can't leave Sam. But you're not safe yet. I will save you, but you must trust me.
We must trust
Master. Why not go away at once?
I told you, Smeagol. Now go on. Or Precious will be angry. That's it. Come on.
Something's there. Wicked master! Trixie! Roll Smeagol!
Hold still! Roll a stick goes full of pins as a hedge.
Tie him up!
No! 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 Don't hurt him if you can help it! He'll be quieter if you don't. Smeagol, they won't hurt you!
They are!
I'll go with you, and you shall come to no harm. Now trust master.
Hold still!